So this second piece is arguing that the third world, and this was again 82 or back in the 80s, 30 years ago, that the third world is coming to us. This piece is called "The Proletarian is Dead. Long Live the Housewife?" question mark, by Claudia von Verhoef. She writes, quote, "Small peasants, seasonal agricultural laborers, petty traders, and petty service people, producers and sellers of self-produced commodities, prostitutes and part-time wage laborers, contract and home workers, all occupy all the roles that will gradually come to constitute the norm in our," and she meant the so-called advanced, so-called modern, so-called Western nation states, "the norm in our countries too. It reveals to us the vision of the future and the real character of our mode of production. More explicitly here too, our economy will become femalized, feminized, marginalized, naturalized, or housewifized. Only one thing it will not become: proletarianized. Housework," she said, "will become the model of work." Unquote. Scrape off the environmental consciousness / moral economy facade from the left-right consensus that Nader et al. Are pushing, hoping to con us into thinking, a la Richard Wolff, that we can reform capitalism or the economy or whatever, transform it into something we own, something moral and inclusive and sustainable and local. Scrape all that off, dissolve the saccharine pap from the media hype, and what are we left with if not exactly what von Verhoef describes? The first essay, the one from Giovanni Arrighi, Terence Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein, draws on Marx in order to show the conversion of human individuality into amorphous energy by means of the market. So we're going to be spending some time with the quote-unquote the thought of Marx, because we need all hands on deck. And I sense that the allegiance of a lot of progressive folk to Marxist thinking is something we have to discuss and move past, as we discussed a little bit last week in visiting with Nelson Peary's work, because that he was coming from that perspective. Well, we're going to continue along delving into that question of, is Marxism the language we need to move forward to our future? So in that first essay, it shows the conversion of human individuality into amorphous energy by means of the quote-unquote market. What Lowe shows, Keith Lowe, we're reading Savage Continent, as does von Verhoef, is that this is also accomplished by war. In extremis, power turns to war. What I'm asking us to consider is that the result is the actual and conscious intention, our atomization. And I would add, intimately linked with that, if not just the flip side of it, total privatization of the resources of the planet. Those things are necessarily coupled together to manufacture scarcity, the illusion that there's not enough, which keeps us at each other's throats, which keeps us in harness, which keeps us living in fear. And these are questions that have advanced. And it's not just that they've advanced beyond what anyone of Marx's era or Marx himself could envision. It's that they began Marxist thought on the wrong premises, the notion of a hierarchical arrangement by which we progress through history, and that those of us connected to the earth represent some earlier stage, quote unquote. This was a faulty premise, which fostered a division, a hurt, a wound that we've been struggling to heal ever since and are in the midst of healing right now. So that was a faulty premise, began on false premises, end with false conclusions. And what was also faulty there was the division between intellectual and manual labor, which he bought into. Everyone of that era did, in order to consider yourself civilized. It required betrayal of your brothers and sisters. We're at a point now when we can see that clearly, when we couldn't before.